The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network, Visa.com, the Visa app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all brought to you by BetMGM Nevada. It's Gil Alexander. Kelly Midland is here as well. Kelly?
Bob told me off the air he's going all six on the Steelers. Right. Oh, wait, I wasn't supposed to say that?
Sorry, our mics are on.
I'm sorry.
No, he's kidding. Everybody's kidding. Pro tip of the hour last hour, by the way. We got to get that in. We had a couple to choose from here. We'll go with this one. You always need to prep before a season begins, but in a sport like the NBA, be willing to move off your preseason convictions as soon as you see things start to go wrong. Be humble about your preseason convictions. Humility, that's your pro tip for the hour. We do one every hour on Visa across every show, so that means at least 20 every day. They're still available. They're all available, I should say, for Visa Pro subscribers only at VSiN.com, where you can sort them by sport and by show. We get tweets at Beatty the Book. These harken back to earlier today, also to yesterday. Remember Paul Spohr yesterday on the show was talking about how he was at a movie.
Oh, man, you're going to put him on blast. Listen, I was going to bring it up off air.
This is J-Rod. J-Rod said, no, because Paul and his girlfriend are responding to this on Twitter.
Yes, they are. They are.
J-Rod says, minus 10,000 favorite knowing every time Spohr's sneak listening to baseball. Oh, that his girlfriend knows. Minus 10,000 that she knows every time. And so they've jumped in. And they've basically chimed in. Paul Spohr's girlfriend, Jen, who is lovely, chimed in. She goes, I absolutely knew he was listening to it. LOL. He was watching it during the trailers and still had his AirPods in as soon as the movie ended.
Oh, man, that's great.
Paul goes back, AirPods singular. And on and on and on. Mark Geiger, in-house attorney for the show, he says, bold suggestion. Forget teaser schmeezers. I won't read that next sentence. He goes, let's just stick with tennis. I'm sure all the gillionaires you make, myself included, will be happy with just tennis picks and happy talk. Jen then chimes in again. True, you were smart to put the far one in because you knew I'd whisper to you during the movie in that ear.
See, Paul's got this down, Gil. She had no idea. No idea, man.
Johnny Ringo, pro tip supplement, slow sports days by taking Gil's tennis plays. Great play yesterday. We hit the dog yesterday.
Oh, you hit that winner?
On Stricker.
There you go. Nice.
So the answer, by the way, J-Rod asking about tennis, John Burgo asking about tennis, everybody asking about tennis. Thank you guys for the tennis questions. I had one overnight, Will Hill can attest, because I sent it to him. It was another dog winner, a Holger Rune, but it's in Basel in Vienna. So some of these matches are before the show and we're not on. So that got home. There was one later I was going to have on this show, and it was Taylor Fritz against Denis Shapovalov, but now the price is too far out of whack. It was in the minus 130s last night. If it had gone down a little, it would have triggered it, but instead it's in the minus 150. So there is no tennis play today. I'm sorry about that. Cricket Man, I think your personal objectivity and understanding of human instinct is your best HC. What's HC? We all love sports if we gamble. Thank you, Cricket Man, I think.
Head coach.
Yeah, it's your best head coach. Anyway, on and on. We'll read more tweets after the break. We want to get to Mike Pritchard, though. Our very own Mike Pritchard, who sits proudly in front of his Colorado Buffaloes jersey and his Hula Bowl jersey from his estate somewhere here in Las Vegas. How you doing, Mike?
I'm great. Gillionaires, huh?
I don't know. That's again.
I never knew about that.
That's they started that on Twitter. There are T-shirts available, apparently. Yes,
I like it.
And has it made others a little upset? I didn't come up with it, you dumb people. I almost said something else, Mike.
Right. I hear you.
But you know what I meant. All right. Let's start with, because I asked you a little bit about this last week, and we went from quarterback to quarterback. Like, what are the teams, you know, how are they getting tired of the Brady Act? Are they getting tired of the Rodgers Act? We extended it past Russell Wilson. Here we are a week later. Bucks lose again. Packers lose again. Kurt Warner, Hall of Famer, comes out, and he's like, look, it's okay for them to walk away. Like, it's okay for them to just realize that it's time for them to transition. That's right. My word. Mm-hmm. Where do you stand on this? Like, is this the point for bettors? Because I had the Buccaneers and Survivor the last 2 weeks. I watched every play of those games. Mike, they're terrible. They're terrible. Right now, they could come out tomorrow and be great, though, against the Ravens, because you know how this works. Where would you stand as a bettor with the Bucs, with the Packers at this point, generally speaking?
Well, I think as bettors, we're more realistic than those two players are, Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers, because they've had so much success for so many years. They think they're going to be okay. They think they can work through it, or they think they can solve all the issues. They've never really encountered a situation that they couldn't overcome, right? That's why they become Hall of Famers. But reality is setting in. And I never thought we would see it, to be honest with you, with Tom Brady, but we are seeing it with Tom Brady. It's crumbling around Tom. It's not like his skills have diminished.
Yeah.
But when you're publicly out there in terms of your private life, each and every day, and you know people are asking you questions, you know people are inquiring, all kinds of media requests and all this stuff, and maybe your people are handling it, but you know in your mind that everything about your personal life is out there. And then on top of that, you're not getting it right on the field either. I don't think Todd Bowles has really established himself as a leader in that locker room either. So it just doesn't feel right. I can't back the Buccaneers at this point until they fix it. And the same thing with Aaron Rodgers. I mean, when you deny that you stink right now and you want to blame others, obviously you're putting yourself above the locker room too. And that's never a good thing, especially with younger players. Gilder's a dynamic in play in which Brady is there's an age gap, right? Aaron Rodgers, there's a severe age gap right there. And there's no way he's relating to those young pups that he's playing with right now.
And with Aaron Rodgers, you said it right there. And again, not to drift into sports talk radio here, but again, this is for bettors because I'm on Baltimore tomorrow. It's like, hey, if I lose Baltimore against the Bucs, tip of the cap, the Bucs, you somehow figure it out in a short 3-day span how to go from being a horrific football team into a credible one. I'll be fine losing that. But the Aaron Rodgers, at least Tom Brady always says, you know, hey, I can be better, that sort of thing. He starts there. This Aaron Rodgers thing, man, like he literally is coming out on Pat McAfee saying like, well, I got my best grade ever for a game. And this, he's just out there. It's everybody but him. And I can't imagine this goes well moving forward. Like, I just can't.
No, not at all. I mean, I played with Elway and, you know, Elway had an age gap with, you know, Rod Smith and a few other people, Terrell Davis, and never did you have to worry about that. He was all about the team and all about how do we get better at, you know, everybody in the room. And that's an established Hall of Fame. The same thing with Warren Moon. How does everybody get better when there's a significant age gap right there? And to keep it betting related, Will Hill actually put this out there to me yesterday on the Lombardi line in terms of why not just the first half with Baltimore and Tampa? Because one, Baltimore is so hard to prepare for. Mm-hmm. Tampa Bay's defense, it's not what it used to be. And then you got Tom Brady in that offense struggling right now. So a first half play isn't bad. That way you don't have to worry about Baltimore in the fourth quarter. And I think a few times this year, some bettors, we've all worried about Baltimore in the fourth quarter.
I recommended yesterday, Kelly and I were going through division odds for NFC divisions. And based on remaining schedule, the Falcons, who are tied for the NFC South lead, your Falcons, who you used to play for, they're 3-1 or thereabouts, shop around. I actually think that's a pretty viable play. You?
I do. I'm a little worried about Marcus Mariota, though, because I think at some point he's going to have to throw the ball to win. Right now they're running the ball very, very well. Cordell Patterson's going to come back. I do love his weapons, though. I mean, Kyle Pitts is phenomenal, as we know. Drake London is a viable option in the red zone because he's so tall, his dimensions. So it's just moving the ball between the 20s. If they can consistently do that, I agree with you on that. Defensively, too, I mean, I would like to see them healthier out there, to be honest with you, Gil. But I think Arthur Smith has something going with the Falcons. The only decision moving forward for that franchise is what are they going to do at quarterback? Are they going to stay the course with Marcus, or are they going to look to upgrade that position, though?
Let me ask you randomly about coaches, because you mentioned Todd Bowles, how Todd Bowles doesn't have the locker room. And I casually, when we were talking to Drew Dinsick earlier, as we're going out, I was saying how Pete Carroll, to me, might be the coach of the year right now. And I forgot about Brian Daboll, of course. Will Hill reminded me. Of course I did. Who is your, like right now, if you were tiering them right now, 1, 2, 3, who's your coach of the year? Who's the runner-up? Through six, seven games, what do you got right now?
Oh, wow. I think... because Robert Saleh's in there too, right?
He is, yeah.
I think I would have to go Daboll. You know, if you trade a quarterback like Pete Carroll did, you know something. You know more than the people that are trading for Russell. And so I think inside the building at Seattle, they probably knew that all the issues, all the baggage. How about that word right there for Russell Wilson? All the baggage for that guy left the building. So Pete Carroll's just doing exactly what he did as he built the Legion of Boom and they got to Super Bowls. Dable, what that guy is doing with this roster, Nobody expected it. And I think it's sustainable. I mean, this game coming up, I'm seeing a ton of bets come in on the Giants, but that line is still staying at 3. I'm hoping it gets to 2.5, but it's staying at 3 from what I can look at right now. And so Dable has been incredible. And, you know, to change a culture, to get the buy-in, and then to have that team fight for 4 quarters like they have each and every game so far, that's incredible. And I think a lot of people across the league is taking note. And there's a number of free agents that I think would like to play out there in New York for the Giants and Coach Dable. So to me, he's leading everybody else right now.
Yeah, flash up those Coach of the Year odds if you could one more time, guys, at DraftKings. Nick Sirianni is the short shot, plus 125. Mm-hmm. Dable, plus 250. Salah, 10-1. O'Connell, 12-1, the 5-1 Vikings. Uh-huh. Mike McDaniel and Pete Carroll and Sean McDermott, who apparently they refused to give this award to ever, all at 20-1. So for me, the bet is Pete Carroll and then have the Seahawks beat the Giants this week and then move on from there. But I think 20-1 right in pocket's a nice one to have. Hey, Mike, before you go, happy birthday.
Yes, sir.
Happy birthday.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you guys. Yeah, you know, it's been a great morning so far. Thank you so much for that, Gil.
Yeah, enjoy your day. Happy 30th birthday to Mike Pritchard, everybody. No, I'm kidding.
You're right.
Happy birthday, man. Mike Pritchard, M.I. Pritchard on Twitter, VEASAN's own. We'll come back. We'll read some of your tweets about Crush'em Sports. Jason Weingarten, Alex Monahan from Odds Jam. It's a numbers game at VEASAN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on a numbers game, live from the South Point Hotel, tip of the strip. They can call the South Point one day. One day.
By the way, Gil, the legend's true. If you wish someone a happy birthday, they disappear.
They disappear right off the screen. This show has been a technical masterpiece, ladies and gentlemen. We're very throw this in the time capsule.
Man.
We get tweets at Beating the Book. It's Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, by the way. Thanks for joining us today. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciated. Let's see here. This is from Podiatron, talking about Bob DeLuca, who was on with us, kind enough to join us from Crush'em Sports, the gentleman who has 6 of the reigning 125 entries in Circa Millions. Podiatron, PJ, says, Bob is taking the Cowboys, Bills, or Eagles. If he had any of them left with that Boston accent. By the way, again, the teams that he has used, and we went through them one by one, but the teams that he has used, Eagles, Packers, Bears, Giants, Bucks, Chargers, Raiders. So really the middle belly, if you will, of the NFL. Sam Wesley, any tennis today? Thanks for Stricker yesterday. Again, no tennis because the Taylor, again, we had Holger Rune overnight, and the Fritz line went too high. Bainbridge DeWeese, is there a way to find out who Bob picked after the submission deadline? Can't help but root for the guy. Yes, you can go to circusports.com, and once the deadline, after the deadline, at some point after that, they post what everybody's picks are in the grid. They have an availability grid first before that, and then after the picks are made, you can actually see what everybody picked. So that's
the answer. I'm glad you knew that information, because I've personally never gotten far enough for that to matter to me.
Oh, I can remember. I can remember. Jack Hannon, your interview with Bob from Crush'em, again, it's different how it lands on people, right? Jack Hansen says, your interview with Bob from Crush'em was fascinating. Nice guy, but unless he's a great actor, not too sharp, in my opinion. See if Jimmy will give me a price on the field. Oh, a little hateration there, Kelly.
Huh. I think my boy Bobby Big Betts is going with the Steelers this week on all 6. He's going to show everyone.
He says he really is going to play all 6 on 1, though, it sounded like.
I love it.
Yeah. He got some gamble in him.
You got to have some gamble in
him. I like what he said,
life,
though.
Man.
He said he's got risk tolerance. You need risk tolerance.
You need it. You know what? I'm glad he did. He did admit, though, right, where he was like, look, I was absolutely planning on using all 6 this week, but when so many people went down, it forced me to at least think about it.
Well, he said first 4 weeks. And then he got to 6, and then this one he was like, no, a 7th. And it sounds like he's going to do it one more time. And he did say week 9, probably not, because week 9 gets really ridiculous.
Yeah.
But it sounds like one more week. Judd O'Connor, any tennis plays today? No, again, we'll see if there's some tomorrow. Phil Weiss, by the way, Phil Weiss, always ornery. Phil Weiss, well, he may not know how to hold a bat, but Sporer has one thing over your buddy Jason, a girlfriend. Jason Weingarten on the show coming up. Jason has a girlfriend, so you're incorrect.
There we go.
Oh, going after.
Although the Sporer reality show playing out on Twitter has been very fascinating.
Hey, J-Rod, we want to know how you found Sporer's girlfriend's Twitter.
Yeah, Jay, come on, man.
Come on, Jay. J-Rod, great dude, by the way. Met him at Bet Bash, too. Kiss the Degenerate and Jamie Leva also trying to decipher the Cricket Man tweet from earlier about HC, because it was a very kind tweet from Cricket Man. Kiss the Degenerate said, could HC be handicap? Jamie Leva says, could HC be human quality? Just a guess. Quality, not beginning with a C, but who knows?
I did the same thing at first. When you first said it, I'm like, human quality. I'm like, wait, no, that doesn't make any sense because it's HC.
Raj Bhatia, @Downtown_Rocks. Script of discussion on this topic. Producers. We would like you to only do tennis picks, Gil. Gil responds, how would we fill in all the extra time? Producers, Todd Wishnev is co-host. Gil, here are my picks for NHL, NFL, MLB, NASCAR, CFL, XFL, Premier League, and Lithuanian wrestling. I love Todd. Why would you say that?
Wait, I don't get it. Is that what Todd bets?
No. Raj is trying to say that I should just do tennis picks, and then if I ratchet it back, I'll be worried there'll be too much time to fill. And they'll be like, well, you guys will be like, well, how about I have Wishnev's ghost? And then I would just invent picks for all sports.
Ah.
Yeah, just like, no, I love Todd. Todd will be on the Megapod, of course, as he always is tomorrow. Jeff Parlay, Todd Wishnev, and Rufus Peabody, our guest tomorrow on the Beating the Book Megapod. Again, remember, Monday and Thursday, Guessing Lines and Megapod end up on the Beating the Book feed. Tuesdays through Friday, a numbers game ends up on the Numbers Game podcast feed. So just to break that down during football season. Kelly, you know what we didn't do yesterday that we probably, by the way, all of the VSiN podcasts at VSiN.com/podcast, JVT's Hardwood Handicappers, VSiN Best Bets, all of our shows in podcast form in case you miss any of them.
I put Hardwood Handicappers on there because I'm on there once a week.
Is that why you threw that up
there?
Yeah. How's that going for you? You enjoy doing that?
Oh, it's been great. I love talking basketball with John.
When are you and Matt Brown doing your little golf podcast?
Yeah, I don't know. We got to get that started. I don't think either one of us is doing, you know, too heavy golf betting right now, so it's probably something I don't think we'd even look at till January.
Are you guys in the Long Shots crew going to have like a West Side Story rumble out in the middle of the street sometime?
Is that like snapping
involved? Snapping your fingers?
Hey. Yeah. I don't. Who you got in that matchup?
I got Matt Brown. Anything with Matt Brown, I got his side on it.
Yeah, yeah. You see, people don't know out there. You see that guy take off a jacket. He's in shape.
Well, he's working out right now.
Yeah, he's working out right now. That's why he can't make time for us ever.
Ever. It's like jerk. His legs day, and he can come on. You know what we didn't do yesterday that we should do today? Our NFL power rankings.
Boom.
Let's do it.
Plug it in, fire it up.
Crank it up.
This is going to be interesting. You and I texted about this for days.
This is the weirdest year of NFL power rankings.
It really
ever.
Is.
I have had the Bills 1, Chiefs 2, Eagles 3 for 5 weeks in a row, and it ain't changing. Now, here is the thing that happened this week. 4, 5, 6, and 7 remain the same for me, too. The Cowboys are 4 just because that defensive unit is so good and maybe the best unit, specific unit of any unit in the NFL, that they're 4 for me. And believe me, my Washington background makes me hate saying that. I've got the Niners at 5. They did, after all, lose to the Chiefs, so I'm not going to dock them. The Ravens have led by double digits in every game this year, so they're 6, even though they're 4-3.
They're starting. So me and you have had them around that 5-6 range for weeks, weeks and weeks, maybe since the beginning of the year. Mm-hmm. I don't even know. If we went back and looked, I wouldn't be shocked if you told me they haven't moved between 5 and 6 beyond that for me all season.
Yeah.
But, like, that is a team, I mean, obviously, bettors are getting upset with. They are a hard team to slot in this kind of exercise because of what you just said. I mean, you can look at it two ways, right? They've led double digits in each game, or they've blown all these double-digit leads.
It's exactly right. But, I mean, it's like they're certainly, by the way, Aaron Schatz at Football Outsiders, just to have another sort of lens, he has them as number 4, right? With the argument only begins after Bills, Chiefs, and Eagles, in whatever order you have those three teams. So I have the Ravens at 6, and then I have the Bengals for a second straight week at 7. And again, that Burrow to Chase, Burrow to Boyd, Burrow to Higgins offense is just out of control good. Not much of a running game this year, but it's That offense reminds us very much now of last year. So for me, it's the 1-2-3 tier. It's the 4-5-6-7 tier of Cowboys, Niners, Ravens, and Bengals. Put them in whatever order you want, in my opinion. Then after that, starting at 8, and I know I have the Dolphins for a second consecutive week at 8, but really to me, when you go from 8 down, what are you going to quibble with? Seriously. Like whatever you have at 8, 9, 10, fine. Mazel tov. I have Dolphins 8, Vikings 9. Vikings idle moving up a spot. And ladies and gentlemen, the introduction of the Seattle Seahawks at number 10. And by the way, Football Outsiders has had them top 10 all year.
Yeah, they got them 7th.
I got them 10. Shout out to Geno Smith, man.
It's been incredible.
It's incredible. This shows you, if you hold the clipboard, remember back in the day you did that for 3 years, you got good. You could come into the league good when you had the time to prepare. Geno's been around nothing but Hall of Famers. Maybe it's not that outlandish that he would be good. Let's go to yours.
Yeah, I think that there is. Yeah, just real quick. I think that the what's going on with Seattle and Russell Wilson and what happened with Matt Ryan, I think if that's not the greatest example of, hey, something's up with these quarterbacks when they're willing to have conversations with you about a trade, mm-hmm. I think it's something you got to be aware of moving forward. As far as mine, Bills, Eagles, Chiefs, all stay pat. I moved the Bengals up to 4, made the jump over the Cowboys. I put them up there. Like you said, this offense starting to come together. I think this team is going to be problems down the stretch run here. Cowboys, they move back to 5. It's no punishment indictment to the Cowboys at all. It's more of what I feel high on the Bengals. Ravens at 6. Again, I'm not really crushing them, but yeah, I'm starting to have concerns about it. I guess Vikings is the one we differ the most on, but it's two spots.
Yeah.
Vikings, Niners kind of right in that area for me, and Niners move up 2 spots despite losing to the Kansas City Chiefs, because who else do we put in here, right?
That's what I'm saying.
And I backfilled it with Giants and Dolphins. I did put Giants I wanted to put in there just because Brian Daboll does need to get the credit he deserves for what he's doing with this team. And it is week in and week out, and the second half adjustments that he's making with the Giants have impressed me enough, Gil, that I at least had to give him a week in the top 10.
Is that your first appearance for the Dolphins, by the way?
No, Dolphins have bounced in and out.
Okay.
First appearance for the Giants.
The point of this, and I think we're not being prisoners of the moment, but this is the NFL this year specifically. There are a lot of crappy football teams. And once you get past 7 or 8, it takes a dive.
Oh, it does.
In a way that I don't remember it ever happening before. Week after week after week. It's tough to fill those final positions of the top 10. Coming back with Jason Weingarten next, it's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Get everything Visa has to offer for the rest of the football season for only $99. Sign up now and get Visa Pro access all the way through the Super Bowl, including our Pro Picks daily recap of the top plays made by Visa show hosts and guests, Pro Tools like our exclusive betting splits, Pro Tips with actionable insights to up your betting game, deep dive daily betting reports on the NBA, NHL, and MLB playoffs, plus our upcoming college basketball, College Bowl, and Super Bowl betting guides. Give yourself an edge. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe to get your $99 midseason special today. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. Thought we'd spell it out for you. Skill Alexander, Kelly Bidlin here as well. By the way, some football notes that we didn't get to. Chiefs defensive end Frank Clark suspended by the NFL for 2 games for violating the NFL's personal conduct policy. In case you missed that, Clark in September pled no contest in L.A., to 2 counts of misdemeanor possession of an assault weapon and was sentenced to 1 year of probation and 40 hours of community service. So he has gone for 2 National Football League games for the Kansas City Chiefs. And then Yahoo Sports, Jordan Schultz reporting that NFL teams are inquiring as the trade deadline approaches here about KJ Hamler of the Broncos. You may recall that KJ Hamler was throwing his helmet, banging it on the ground after Russell Wilson didn't see him open center of the end zone in that primetime game. So he is, how can we put this, expendable?
Yeah, there's been some reports that there's a few Broncos that might be on the block.
Yeah. And then Jordan Schultz also reporting at Yahoo that Bears edge Robert Quinn, edge rusher Robert Quinn, is a trade candidate for several teams. Now, with the Bears, despite their great performance against the Patriots, they are in sell mode and have exhibited this in the past with the likes of Khalil Mack. So Robert Quinn could be a Khalil Mack kind of trade, where they are willing to trade veteran players for draft picks and young talent. So anyway, news and notes from the National Football League. We'll see. We'll see if the Packers get a wide receiver maybe at the trade deadline. Good God. Their version of wide receivers continuing. We'll see if they make a move there. Let's talk some football, some baseball with Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke in Southern California. He's the host of the Wide World of Weingarten podcast, available where all podcasts are available. And, of course, you can follow him on Twitter at Spreadopedia. How are you doing, Jason?
Pretty good. I think the Packers should trade Aaron Rodgers at the deadline coming up.
He should. Probably should. Could you imagine?
By the way, they should. I mean, it's... he's going to retire, and then they have to do a whole rebuild. You might as well get something out of him now before you have to start the process in a year or two. I mean, you're just prolonging the inevitable.
We were just talking about it with Pritch. Like, his unwillingness to take any blame for anything is just so off-putting. It's incredible. And you do wonder why he's estranged from the family. You wonder.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, you wonder why that's the case. What have you bet week 8 in the NFL? You bet anything?
Not much. I wanted to bet. I want to bet the Seahawks this week, but it's a Jerome Bogart game, so I have to sit that one out. Other than that, you know, the thing with the NFL is it's kind of the same every week. Is it's like you're like, man, this week was the hardest week ever, and then you look at the next week and you're like, oh man, I want nothing to do with this week.
To me, last week though was at least this week I had three sort of instinctive picks. Last week I had nothing, but maybe one. So I want to say that last week was more difficult. But yes, I mean, by and large, you can't get that. That's why these contests are so difficult, right? The fact that you have to go five deep, are you kidding me? On these every week.
Yeah, you know, it's not my favorite week, to be honest with you. I had a bad college football week last week, and I'm kind of out on college football this week. I don't like the Thursday game. I do like the Broncos. The Broncos were getting 3 points yesterday. I see it's down to 2.5. Offshore here tonight, today, but I like the Broncos getting 3 after not covering the 2 at home. Their defense is elite. They just have some serious problems on the offense. I like the Rams this week. I think 49ers are going to get all the love, and then the Packers plus 11. I think I'm contractually obligated to take the 11 points, even what I just said about you know, Rodgers. But this is where you get the value. I mean, when are you going to get 11 points with the Packers?
Never before with Aaron Rodgers.
Never before, probably never again.
Yeah, and maybe never again. What futures plays do you have in the NFL, by the way, go ahead. What are you thinking of getting?
I got a couple I'd love to talk about.
Please.
There's two markets. I talked about this a little bit on my pod. I'm going to talk about it later today because I haven't even made one of these bets yet. But I never understand the voting criteria for the Offensive Player of the Year award.
Mm-hmm.
Is it the runner-up for the MVP?
Is it
the award for the best non-quarterback? Is it, you know, why is Josh Allen, for example, plus 125 for MVP and 12-1 for Offensive Player of the Year? If he's that good, shouldn't he win both?
Well,
I'm very confused what the purpose of the Offensive Player of the Year award is year after year. It doesn't seem like we have a criteria to actually, you know, have a reason why somebody's the favorite or not.
Well,
like, why is Josh Allen 12-1?
Well, I don't know if you're asking this rhetorically, but here I am, so I'll answer. The Associated Press NFL Offensive Player of the Year award is given annually by the Associated Press to the offensive player in the National Football League deemed to have had the most outstanding season. The winner is chosen by votes from a nationwide panel of sports writers who regularly follow the NFL. That is your...
So having the best offensive season is different than being the most valuable player?
Well, let me finish the thought. So that's the stated definition of what it is, to answer your question. What it has, in essence, become, though, and you said it in there, which is really true, it's really sort of the receptacle after the quarterbacks, right? So it's like... MVP is kind of a quarterback unless someone does something so outrageous that it's not. And so therefore...
You can't do anything more outrageous than beat a quarterback. I mean, Cooper Kupp almost had 2,000 yards last year. Didn't even get a sniff.
So exactly right. So in essence, the Offensive Player of the Year award becomes a wide receiver slash, and in past decades, no longer in this NFL, but in past decades, became a running back award. But now it's primarily... you know, drifting over to wide receiver. You know, we had Michael Thomas win it. We had Cooper Kupp win it. So that's kind of the answer to your question. Everything you're saying is right. It's whatever is stated, it's just basically whatever quarterback wins the MVP, now we're going to give this to somebody who's not a quarterback.
Well, my other one that is even more confusing, I think, is comeback player of the year, a market I don't normally spend a lot of time on, because same thing. I think the criteria for comeback player of the year is so vague and ill-defined that year after year, it's very arbitrary in a lot of cases. It's very much a narrative award. But when I'm looking at this market and I see Saquon Barkley's -225, what exactly is Saquon Barkley coming back from? He played 13 games in 2021.
Right. Well, I said
what are we giving him? We're making him a -225 favorite for what reason? I could not wrap my head around this when I'm thinking about this. Who's making these markets?
Yeah. By the way, let me get back to Offensive Player of the Year before I address this one. Offensive Player of the Year, just let's go back to, you know, from the years 1996 all the way to 2003. So that's an 8-year span. All running backs, right, in a different era of football. Since 2004 on, it's basically alternated year from a quarterback to a running back, quarterback, 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 wide receiver, running back, wide receiver. So the quarterbacks are slowly drifting off of that award is basically what I'm saying.
And none of them have won both? None of them have won MVP and Offensive Player of the Year in the last 10, 15 years?
Ooh, that's a good question. I gotta
look at that myself, because you know, I tend to think that if you're having such an MVP season, you know, that you're a +125 favorite, you shouldn't be 12-1 to win Offensive Player of the Year. It just doesn't make sense. Like in a efficient market, that just doesn't add up for me.
Yeah. Now going to the Comeback Player of the Year award in the National Football League, because this is exactly what I said last year when, you know, Joe Burrow won it last year. And my comment was just what you just said. What exactly is Joe Burrow coming back from? Because
he blew out his knee, at least.
Right, but he played 10 games. His whole career was 10 games at that point. Right? So I'm like, oh, so that's enough to get a Comeback Player of the Year award? And I guess it was in the end. But it's subjective, as you were saying. The year before that, by the way, is the guy that this award should be named after, which is Alex Smith, who came back from 17 surgeries and almost having his leg amputated. That's a comeback, right? That's the gold standard of comebacks. And then Burrow does it from blowing out his knee and playing 10 games. And then before that, it was Tannehill and Luck and Keenan Allen and Jordy Nelson. So there's all kinds of subjectivity to it.
There have been winners of both awards. The last one was 2015. Cam Newton won both.
You're talking about MVP and offensive player now.
In 2012, you had Adrian Peterson do it too. So it has happened. It has happened more recently than I guess we think of.
If it's a non-quarterback, I could see it happening much more readily than a quarterback. But yeah.
I have a comeback player of the year bet. I have two, actually. One of them I'm not ready to give out because I had to actually request it. I'll tell you about it when you're off air, Gil, because you got to go bet it later today. But this market makes no sense. Is basically my point. It's entirely made up. And
what's the one?
I wouldn't even book comeback player of the year if it was my choice.
What's the one you do have in pocket that you're willing to share?
Geno Smith. I mean, what has Geno Smith not done this year that Saquon Barkley has? Like, big deal. Saquon Barkley played, you know, like I said, he played 10 games last year, 13 games last year. I don't have the number.
Jason also has Geno for MVP at 750-1, as you pointed out. Real quick, Astros or Phillies? You betting any on the series?
I got the Phillies 35-1 from before the season, so I'm just sitting on that. I hope they win game one. I'm going to just sit and watch game one. I hope Phillies go up 1-0 and I can go from there.
Thank you, Jason. Coming back with Alex from Odds Jam next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits, like free bets. Never been easier to join the action on the new BetMGM app, featuring a fresh redesign with improved features and quicker navigation. Planning a trip to Vegas? You can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM resorts located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. BetMGM Rewards, sports betting's premier loyalty program, including exclusive offers, incredible experiences, and valuable perks. When you wager with BetMGM, sign up with BetMGM or log in today to take advantage of BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit BetMGM.com. BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. It's Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin here as well. Kelly, ready for a pro tip?
Yeah, what we got?
Pro.
Let's harken back.
I said that earlier.
You say it like 16 times a week.
Harken back?
Yeah.
16?
Yeah.
Under max bet. Ridiculous.
You dropped it like five times in one show the other day.
Did I really?
Yeah, you did.
Harken back five times in one show?
Yep.
Interesting. I have to work on that. Fallen Star Ethereal. That is your pro tip of the hour. Don't go running to bet against a team in a sport like the NBA just because they're down one of their stars. The line will adjust, and oftentimes we see players bettors, that is, take advantage, or players take advantage of the playing time, but really more specifically for our purposes, bettors taking advantage of the over-adjustment in the line. Remember, in the short term, basketball teams can function very well, just like the Pelicans did last night without Zion Williamson, without Herb Jones, without Brandon Ingram. They got it done against the Mavericks. So keep that in mind. That is your VSiN pro tip of the hour. We do one every hour, all day long, every show. That's 20. I've done the math. Once again, they're all available for VSiN pro subscribers only at VSiN.com, where you can sort them by sport and by show. We get tweets at Beating the Book. I want to read a couple of these. This is from Steve in Vegas. While I have enjoyed most, if not all, of the producers for A Numbers Game, Kelly Bidlin just brings a different level of sarcasm and comedy that my brain truly appreciates. Lots of laughter every day. Producer number 9 is producer number 1. Hot take. Try not to run him off so quickly, Gil. It's not what happens here. I don't run them off. They go on to bigger and better things.
There you go.
But Kelly,
appreciate it, Steve.
But Kelly realizes there's nothing bigger or better than this. All right, we go on tweets. We could read a whole bunch of these. Appreciate it from everybody. But I want to welcome in a gentleman who is kind enough to hang out in studio. It's a nice thing about doing a numbers game here at the South Point. People roll on through. This gentleman's name is Alex Monahan. He is the founder of Odds Jam, and he's kind enough to be here. How you doing, man? Well, let's get Alex's mic on there.
It's great to be back in Vegas.
Where you come from?
Scottsdale.
Oh, just a little 9-iron away.
Yeah, short flight, so happy to be back.
Well, listen, I'm so glad you're here. And for people who are unfamiliar with Odds Jam, give us the sort of 30-second elevator pitch as to what it is.
Yeah, the 30-second elevator pitch for Odds Jam is we're an odds comparison site, but we really try to focus on breadth of data. So sports bettors nowadays, you know, they wager on everything, not just sides, totals, you know, player props, Nerf fees, stuff like that. So we really focus on having as much data as possible from all the major operators kind of under one platform where you can browse and find bets you want to bet on.
Well, this is, and we're showing some of your site here. Now, this is not just, hey, the Patriots are playing the Bears like they did on Monday night, and here's a comparison of what the numbers are from book to book. This is also every market you could possibly think of.
Exactly.
And so I think that's what makes it, and by the way, our buddy Chris Felica loves you guys too, that's what makes this so appealing, which is it just pick a market, whether it's rookie of the year or, you know, touchdown prop for this weekend, whatever it is, and you've got the comparison right there on a screen. How long ago did you decide you wanted to put this together, and what was sort of the impetus? Why were you like, this needs to be done somewhere?
Yeah, I think it was created a lot out of need. So when I started betting on sports more seriously, I was, you know, working full time in Pennsylvania. I'd come home, I'd bet on sports the whole day, or I'd go across the border to New Jersey before it was in Pennsylvania and bet on sports. So we really didn't think there was, like, you know, me, my friends, people I worked with who were more financially minded, quantitative. We didn't really think there was a good place to, like, browse odds, really, for the breadth of markets that were being offered on FanDuel, DraftKings, sportsbooks like that. So we ultimately just kind of ended up creating it about a year later, probably after the idea came up.
Yeah. And by the way, this is like the simplest comment about all this, but it looks good, right? It's a sort of very aesthetically pleasing site as well. Again, we're just showing different examples.
Yeah. Line shopping, it's not a sexy topic, so we do our best.
Well, so you just alluded to the fact that you have a financial background. Is one of the things we talked about this off air a little bit. You're amazed coming from that background where prices are very static, generally speaking.
Yeah.
About the difference between that and sports betting. That's got to be part of your thinking in making this site also.
Yeah, so I'd always been a gambler before I kind of got into trading after school. I always knew I wanted to be in some form of gambling, but ultimately went into trading just because I thought it was the most interesting. But, you know, sports betting, if you look just at the offshore books before, like, you know, I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say the word.
Sure.
Okay, Bovada, BetOnline. There wasn't that much variation, but kind of once sports betting came to New Jersey and you saw 10 different operators launch, even just scanning around sports books, it would be like, hey, you know, FanDuel's at +3 here, Chris is +4, BetOnline is +4. Like, you'd be able to kind of spot some of these things manually. So kind of realize that clearly there's going to be a lot of sports books, a lot of markets offered, and people are going to want to be able to browse these lines in an easy way.
What are some of the other things beyond just the line shopping? You have tools to help bettors as well?
Yeah, so we have we try to display data in as many ways as people want. So we have a classical view where you can just like look at one market. So player points, maybe you just want to see NBA, you know, Ja, everyone for that game. What are their point totals? What are their alternate point totals? You know, a lot of sports books, a lot of people, they like to play, you know, 20 plus as opposed to, you know, Ja over 28.5. They'll want to play the 20 plus at like -500, right? So we try to display all the data, the full breadth of markets.
Kelly talks a lot about this with NBA props. Yeah.
Yeah. And then we also have a screen where you can just browse things side by side, which a lot of people like to do. I know I like to do it. Like college football odds first come out, you just kind of like can see the whole market and be like, ooh, there's like a +7. Here's there's +6.5. So maybe I want to dig into that. And then we have a bunch of tools to kind of help users, you know, ideally.
Hedging tools as well.
Yeah, exactly. Hedging tools.
And really simple hedging tools too, like not ones that'll make your brain explode.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So really data is at our core. I mean, you know, when sports betting first launched in the U.S. and you were just trying to figure out what DraftKings, you know, deposit bonus was or how to even sign up for the sports book, there wasn't a ton of content. So we really tried to keep everything pretty simple in the product and just data-oriented. There's no BS. There's nothing. There's not too much about sports, at least in the software product.
Mm-hmm.
Just data, data, data.
All right. So there's a lot of people listening to this. They're like, this is cool. I kind of dig this, and it looks real nice. What's this going to set me back? What's this going to run me? Like, is this all free? Is this what are the tiers here?
Yeah, so browsing odds is 100% free on OddsJam, mm-hmm. which I would say is the, you know, most people who hit our site, they're not paying for the software product. And then we have some tools on top of that, which are just bets based on all the data that we believe, you know, have an edge more than other bets or are at least interesting betting opportunities to look at. And that is what people pay us for.
Okay. But by and large, it's the basics are free.
Exactly.
Okay. And what is, have you been, how long ago did this site go live?
About 15 months.
So relatively new.
Yeah, relatively new.
And you've been very thrilled by the growth of it in 15 months?
Yeah, very, very happy. I mean, a lot of it is getting lucky with states, I'm sure, as everyone in sports gambling, including probably this show, has been blessed with. But definitely been a lot of state growth and also just, you know, people looking for data-driven products, absolutely.
All right, oddsjam.com.
Yeah.
Great name, by the way.
Thank you.
How long did that take to land on?
Not that long.
Like,
we got Space Jam, and then it was pretty quick because the LeBron James movie was coming out, and then it came pretty quickly.
Going Odds Jam.
Yeah.
Okay, and you were just, Randall, who was very helpful to both me and Kelly here before. Randall was awesome. You were saying, and this is just, I think I just want to tell this tale not to in any way embarrass Randall, but for those who are interested in sort of getting into sports betting in all different ways, he was like a really passionate user that you almost found borderline annoying. And then you found how passionate he was and that he was a great bug finder and that he got in that way.
Yeah, for sure. So I had never met someone who had the ability to gamble that many hours a day that late into the night
and love that.
Set alarms for when college football lines would come out on like Sundays and email us Sunday at 4 a.m. for college football lines coming out on FanDuel. So we were like, yeah, I mean, we're either going to block this email address we're going to hire him. So we ended up hiring him.
Well, let that be an inspiration to all, because I think there's so many ways to get into this business for those who are interested. Alex Monahan from Odds Jam, everybody, oddsjam.com. Thank you for making the time, man. Appreciate it. Great meeting
you. Thank you. Thanks for letting me be here. I appreciate it.
Our pleasure. Hope you got some winners from today's show. Multiple sports. Sorry we didn't have any tennis. Sometimes that's how the cookie crumbles with that. We'll try at it tomorrow, and hopefully the time will work out and the odds will work out as well. The Lombardi Line is next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.